Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network, and this is Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. We are live doing a live internet broadcast today on the Earth Reaped Prophecy. Today is Sunday, November 6th, 2022. It is approximately 12 p.m. Central Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And today on PGN Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, we are doing analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy with me, Dr. Nicole, the Book of Revelation Research Scientist, every Sunday and Tuesday in November of 2022. Our live analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy is happening here on PGN. We invite you to share your perspective, present a prayer request, or pose a question. You can do that during the live broadcast by calling the PGN phone number. And our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. You are invited to participate by, again, posing a question to me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, or calling to simply share your perspective, to make a comment, or maybe you have a prayer request. Perhaps you have all three. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us live during the broadcast. That's 1-319-527-6027. When you call, you can listen without one-on-one participation. I will only call on you, and that's always the case, if you raise your hand in our virtual queue. So when you're participating using the Blog Talk phone number, when you call, you press 1, and that raises your hand in the virtual queue. And in that case, I will call on you to hear from you so that we can connect during the live broadcast. If you don't raise your hand, I will know that you are calling to listen but not to participate one-on-one during the live broadcast. If you happen to be listening from the archive, maybe you download from Apple Podcasts or another site, you can pose a question or present a prayer request 24/7. So you can text us here at our PGN text phone number. That's 1-214-505-8719. Again, you can text us 24/7. That text will come to Prophet Randy, and he will share your text with me. Our PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719, and you can simply say, this question is for the Book of Revelation research scientist. My question is this. You don't have to identify yourself, although I'm happy if you are willing to connect with us that way, but you don't have to identify yourself. You can simply present your question, and when I receive it, I will focus on that and share my response during a future broadcast. So I'm so excited to talk to you today about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. So in the Book of Revelation, there are statements of prophecy, and these are reports, accurate reports of future events. And so a statement of prophecy includes one or more of the following three things: predictions about the future, admonitions, which are warnings, and consolations. Consolations are words provided for the purpose of providing hope in the face of distressing information. So for every statement of prophecy, and by my analysis, there are 12 consecutive statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. And for each of these, necessarily there are at least one of the three, but sometimes as many as three, sometimes two. So one or more of those three things. Predictions about the future, warnings for the people of God and for everyone, as well as consolations. So today we're talking about the earth reaped prophecy. So we'll be in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. The earth reaped prophecy begins with verse 6 of chapter 14, and it ends with verse 20. Essentially, and we're going to look at this prophecy verse by verse, it gives a report of what happens at the time of the marriage of the Lamb. What happens at the resurrection? And it's interesting because there are three key points in time. There are three key points in time, and we need to be aware of that. We tend to think of life with respect to our personal birthdays. So, for example, you may say, I'm in year 25, or I'm 48, or I'm 73. But God thinks about time and talks about time, looking at much larger spans of time. And when we look at the book of Revelation, there are three key points in time that we need to think about to unlock the secrets of the earth-reaped prophecy in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Time number one, the resurrection. That's also referred to as the marriage of the Lamb. That's the transition from mortality to immortality for everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then there's time number two. That's the timing of the second resurrection. Well, what's that? That's the great white throne judgment, the timing of the dead judged prophecy. That happens after the devil is thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever at the end of the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth. So the great white throne judgment happens after the millennial reign and after Satan has been destroyed with the second death. And then there's time number three. That's the transition to life on the new earth for every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the transition to outer darkness, the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever. So two specific physical locations, the new earth and the lake of fire. So these three points in time, we will see secrets about the bifurcation that happens. That's the splitting into two distinct paths for humanity. So in reality, there's perfect continuity of life for every human being that has ever been created. It is impossible to uncreate oneself. In the same way, it's impossible to create oneself. The Creator creates the creation, and every human being is the creation of God. And so in the same way that we were created as a result of the decision-making of God, the trajectories of life, the finite number of trajectories of life were created by the Creator, not by the creation. So what does that mean? There's no option three. There's no letter C. So sometimes we're taking a test and there's an option A, B, or C, and people say, well, if you don't know the answer, just put C. In this case, talking about what happens when a human being leaves this stage of life, What's the stage of life? The stage of life where one exists in a corruptible body, a tangible body on this present earth that is decaying, that reaches its peak level and then goes into a permanent state of decline. So the Bible reveals that what happens after life for every human being who falls asleep in the Bible, experiencing the first death, is referred to consistently more than a dozen times as falling asleep. And the Bible reveals that what it means to fall asleep is perfect continuity of life, two in one instead of three in one. So what does that mean? Before the fall, Adam and Eve existed on the present earth three in one, body, spirit, and soul. So they had a perfected body. They had a soul, each of them. What's a soul? One's mind, will, and emotions. And they had a spirit. After the fall, after sin entered the world through the actions of Adam and Eve, they lost their peak performance body. They lost their ability to live on the earth in the body that they had originally. And so from that point forward, every offspring was born in the image of Adam, who gave the seed to Eve, instead of the image of God. And so having sonship connected to Adam means that every human being inherited the DNA error associated with death. Every human being inherited the sins of the father. Every human being inherited sonship from Adam rather than sonship from God. So to be in right standing with God, to be a son or daughter of God, necessarily means that one will have eternal life three in one. But sonship from Adam means that one has inherited three in one with a temporary status for a body. And so why does this matter? What happened hundreds, a thousand, now we're talking about many thousands of years ago. It matters because God's perfect plan for you and perfect plan for me and for every truth seeker is to have a peak performance body. So when God created Adam and Eve and they were in the Garden of Eden and they had immortality, that was his vision not only for Adam and Eve, but for all of the offspring that they would bear. And so when they sinned due to the failure to follow God's instructions, to cooperate with God's plans, God did not choose to abandon his plan or his vision. No, he created a solution so that ultimately his vision, his plan for a forever family would still come to pass. And so today we're talking about how do you and how do I become a part of the forever family of God? And so the reality is that every person will be in one of two groups at the end. We will be in the wheat group or the tares group. We will be in the good fish group or the bad fish group. We will be in the sheep group or the goats group. We will be team Jesus or team Satan. We will be a son of God, son of or daughter of God, or a son or daughter of Satan. either our name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we're talking about the earth reaped prophecy in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation today. Let us, as foundational information, you know, unlocking the secrets in the book of Revelation requires examining and having knowledge of confirming scripture that exists elsewhere in the Bible. And so we're going to look at some foundational scriptures that will help us to be clear on what is happening in the earth-reaped prophecy. And so today let's take a look at, and then we're going straight to the earth-reaped prophecy in the book of Revelation. Let's take a look at the book of Matthew, beginning with the parable of the fishing net. And then we will look at the parable of the sheep and the goats, and then the parable of the wheat and the weeds. So these parables are stories that Jesus gave to explain the reality that will happen in our future. When does this reality happen? It happens at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's when it begins. That's time number one that we're talking about today, and it ends with time number three. What's time number three? Time number three is the beginning of eternity future, where all human beings dwell in either one of two places. Place number one, the new earth, which will exist forever and ever, forever and ever. Place number two, the lake of fire in outer darkness. So today we have human beings in four locations. Excuse me, I mean to say three locations. So there are those of us who dwell three in one on the earth. Then there are believers, individuals whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who dwell two in one. Right? So disembodied spirits who are in Christ and they are dwelling in a physical location known as heaven. And then we also have human beings, two in one, disembodied spirits who dwell in Hades. So you say, well, what are you talking about, research scientists? When a human being is created, that human being is three in one, body, spirit, and soul. And that human being, you, me, all humans have perfect continuity of life. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who are in Christ. Similarly, to be absent from the body is to be present in Hades for those who are not in Christ. Now, what happens at the time of the second coming? That's the beginning of time one, time two, and time three. Blamed in the earth-reaped prophecy, which we're going to very shortly. Let's take a look at three scriptures in the book of Matthew. Three parables that prophesy the reality reported in the book of Revelation's earth-reaped prophecy. So the 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation are accurate reports of future events. So God exists outside of time. Time exists within God. God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, and omnipotent, all-powerful. And so God knows the beginning from the end. And so the reality of the end of the world is not only prophesied in the book of Revelation, but it is reported as an event which has already happened in the book of Revelation. Let's begin, though, with looking at where it's prophesied in the book of Matthew. So in Matthew, it says in chapter 13, verses 47 to 50, talking about time one, time two, time three, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. Let's pause there. Every person is either a good fish or a bad fish. So we tend to separate people into these kinds of groups: Asians, Europeans, Africans, or Americans, Canadians, Australians, or men, or women, rich, poor. We tend to separate human beings into these kinds of groups. But in the Bible, human beings are separated into two finite groups. And we have different language used to describe the same two groups. So here we have the good fish and the bad fish. So ultimately, when we're talking about the end of the world, as well as eternity future, everything that happens forever and ever after the end of the world, either a person is a good fish or a bad fish. Now, what does this mean? It says, when the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. Then it says in verse 49, here's the secret, that is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when does this happen? At time number one, the good fish are separated from the bad fish. That's the marriage of the Lamb. That's the resurrection. Well, where is that described? We're going to see that today in the earth-reaped prophecy in chapter 14. It's also reported in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. So that's when we will see the good fish sorted into crates. However, it also says, but threw the bad ones away. So what does that mean? Well, we saw in verse 49, it said, the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace. Now, when does that happen? After the second resurrection, which happens at the end of the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth, frequently referred to as the millennial reign, every person who is a bad fish, in other words, every person who rejected God's plan for salvation, will be resurrected as a disembodied spirit dwelling in Hades. That is a temporary disposition. Ultimately, the day of judgment will come. Now, when is that? In chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, that day of judgment is described in great detail. It's the dead judged prophecy in chapter 20. The end of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. I want to share that with you. So this is what we're talking about, where it says, at the end of the world, the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace. This, the throwing of the wicked into the fiery furnace, happens immediately after the great white throne judgment. Who's judged there? Every person who participated in the second resurrection, every bad fish. Let's hear exactly what happens. So in Revelation chapter 20, it says, verses 11 to 15, and I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. That means that every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life is a bad fish. So you might say, well, wait a minute. It said that all the dead were judged. Remember, there's time one, time two, and time three. Every person who is a good fish is no longer dead at time two. Every person who is Team Jesus has already been resurrected for 1,000 years. So at this point, it's talking about the bad fish. What's the take-home point? When we look at this earth-reaped prophecy, it's spanning 1,000 years. It's not just one point in time. It's talking about time one, time two, and time three. What's time one? The first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb. What's time number two? The second resurrection, the great white throne judgment that we just heard described in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Now, what's time number three? That's eternity future. That's when this earth transitions from a corruptible earth. The present earth transitions from being corruptible to being incorruptible, from being imperfect to being perfected. We transition to a new earth after the great white throne judgment. That's described in Revelation 21. Now, let's hear more about the two different groups. So, truth seeker, I'm talking to you. Hear me. What am I saying? Ultimately, your identity is not male or female. Your identity is not black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American. Your identity is not South African, American, Canadian, British, Australian. Your identity is a member of the royal race or the failure to become a member of the royal race. Every person who transitions at time three to the new earth experiences eternal life in a perfected body with no DNA errors, is a part of the forever family of God, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. So that's really what it means when we say, well, what's your identity? Are you in Christ and therefore you have a guaranteed ticket to the new earth? Or are you unrighteous? Have you failed to get in right standing with God? And therefore, you will be subject to the great white throne judgment and ultimately denied admission to the new earth. And you might say, well, wait a minute. You're saying a lot of things here that don't make sense to me. Hear this. At the end, there's a bifurcation. Everyone lives for eternity future. So beyond the end of this world, which is coming, The end of the world happens when this present earth is no more. At that point, every person transitions to either the new earth or the lake of fire, which exists in the outer darkness. These are two real locations. And there's no option C. There's no ability to self-select out. So in the same way that neither you nor me could self-select out of being created, we can't self-select out of the future. God created us as the creator. We are the creation, and we have a decision to make. Do we accept God's invitation to be a part of his forever family, or do we reject it? Do we become a good fish or a bad fish? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. So Jesus told this story of the reality of this bifurcated path for humanity. He told this reality over and over again. So we heard it with the parable of the fishing net in Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. Let's hear where he told it again in verses 24 to 43. Matthew reported three different parables that Jesus shared. Here it is. Starting with verse 24, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest." Who are both, friend? The good fish and the bad fish. Now we have the language, the wheat and the weeds. If you're looking at some translations, it's the wheat and the tares. So here in the New Living Translation, it's the wheat and the weeds. So it says in verse 29, let both grow together. For how long, though? It says, until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. Listen to that, friend. So there are two groups, the wheat and the weeds. And Jesus told them what he's going to do. He said, "I am going to tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds." How does he sort them? Into two groups. And what does he say happens to the weeds? "I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." So the weeds are burned, but the wheat are put into a barn. Now, what does it mean to be burned here? It means to go into the lake of fire. It is a metaphor for the second death. What's the second death? That's God's strategy for destroying his enemies. Every evil thing and every evil person that has ever existed on this earth ultimately is destroyed. And God destroys all five of his enemies using the exact same strategy. What's that? It's the second death. It's the lake of fire. So we just heard earlier in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation that the lake of fire is the second death. God uses this strategy over and over again. First, at the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. Then, 1,000 years later, as described in Revelation chapter 20, the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. Then, at the great white throne judgment, Every person who has pledged allegiance to Satan, every person who is not in right standing with God, and therefore a son of Satan instead of a son of God, is thrown into the lake of fire. And finally, as prophesied in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And as we heard in chapter 20, death itself will be thrown into the lake of fire. Again, there are five enemies of God, and every enemy of God is destroyed ultimately. Every evil thing, every evil person must be destroyed so that we can transition to the new earth. Now, what happens on the new earth? In Revelation chapter 20, we hear that on the new earth, death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore. For the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. Friend and truth seeker, God's new order is coming. The new world order in through the work of the Antichrist and the false prophet is a counterfeit. It is the handiwork of the enemy of God, Satan. It is a counterfeit. The new world order will last for a finite period of time, 1,260 days. And ultimately, after the millennial reign and after the great white throne judgment, this earth, the present earth, goes away. It is the end of the world as we know it, but the beginning of eternity future. What's eternity future? That's the new earth. That's eternal life in an immortal, glorified, perfected body forever and ever for every person who is in the wheat group, every person who's a good fish. So what's the take-home point? When we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43, Jesus gave the parable of the wheat and the weeds. In some translations, it says the tares. And all of the weeds go into the lake of fire. Let's continue. In verse 36, it says, then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world. And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. Did you hear that, friend? Who are the people of the kingdom? The good fish, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every person who has found and followed God's plan for salvation that exists at the time that he or she lives on the earth. Then it says, continuing in verse 38, the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. That's really important. Let's hear that again. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Friend, there's no option C. This is a test. This is a test. And all the answers, all the possible solutions include only two options, line one and line two. The first option is to follow God's plan for salvation, to become a good fish, to become a part of the wheat, to have one's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's only one way to do that, and that is to be in right standing with God, to have one's sin debt paid for. Salvation is only through one person, that's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Listen, it says here, the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. What does that mean? That means that you and I necessarily belong to someone. You might say, you know, I don't believe in any of that. I'm my own person. I'm just doing my own thing. I believe in, you know, spirituality. If you're a good person, then I believe God will love you. Of course, God will love you and God does love you, but God is a God of justice. And ultimately, he will judge everything and every person. And even one sin disqualifies one from being eligible to participate on the new earth. You're not eligible for admission to the new earth unless you can stand before God completely blameless. And friend, whether your name is Bill Gates or John Doe, you do not have enough money and you have not engaged in enough good deeds to pay your sin debt. There's no amount of money and no number of good deeds sufficiently large enough to pay for any person's sin debt. You might say, well, I think that my sins are relatively small. Compared to most, I've only committed perhaps 1% of the sins that the average person has committed. Friend, don't engage in these intellectual arguments that have no bearing with respect to the reality that exists. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says here in the Bible, the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Every person either belongs to God or belongs to Satan. At the end, every person will either live with his father, God, or live with his father, Satan. In the end, every person will either live on the new earth or in the lake of fire. Let's continue it in this parable. What does it say in verse 39? The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. So you see here, God's plan was never for any person to go over to Team Satan. God's plan was never, his plan did not include anyone rejecting the opportunity to become a part of his forever family and to live on the new earth forever and ever in a physical, tangible, perfected immortal body. The lake of fire exists for the devil and the third of the angels who rejected God and followed Satan. Unfortunately, some of those who were created for the purposes of being in God's forever family, for the purposes of being a member of the royal race, for the purposes of ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ on the new earth forever and ever. How long is that? That's for the eternities of eternities. Some people have been deceived, and instead of following God's plan for salvation, they have rejected the opportunity to regain sonship, and they choose to stay in the fallen state that they inherited from their foremothers and forefathers. So we all inherited this fallen state, these DNA errors that lead to our bodies decaying. What loving father would want to see his son or daughter grow, flourish, and ultimately then fail to grow and flourish, decay, decline, and die? No loving father would want that. Friend, that's not God's best for you. What does it matter if you spend 120 years and you maybe you accomplish great things, you are a blessing to many people? That's not the end of the story. God has a much bigger plan for you and for me. And that plan involves you living forever and ever. Now, hear me when I say every person is either a good fish or a bad fish. Every person is either part of the wheat or part of the weeds. And it says here, the harvest is the end of the world and the harvesters are the angel. So what does this mean? When we hear the earth reaped prophecy very shortly, we're going to hear about the harvest at the end of the world. That's what the earth reaped is. And so what? Who's going to reap the harvest? The angels. So Jesus prophesied that he was going to have the angels reap the harvest, and that's exactly what we're going to hear in the report of future events in chapter 14. Let's continue. In verse 40 of chapter 13 of Matthew, it says, just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. When's the end of the world? The great white throne judgment. That's in Revelation chapter 20, as we heard earlier today, verses 11 to 15. Friend, if you've never looked at it and you're a truth seeker, you need to look at it. You need to be aware of that reality. This is time number two. So every person will either be resurrected at time one or time two. So time one is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the first resurrection described in Thessalonians. Or if the person fails to make the first resurrection, the person will indeed be resurrected, but not until time number two. And that's described right here. That's described right here. The weeds are sorted out. And then at the great white throne judgment, every person, it's found that all those who participate in that resurrection, that they're actually part of the bad fish, that they're one of the weeds, that their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all the sins that they have engaged in, whether it's one sin, two sins, 2,000 sins, or 2 million sins, it doesn't matter. Any sin debt makes a person eligible for participation in the great white throne judgment and, in fact, guarantees that the person will participate in the great white throne judgment and will be denied admission to the new earth. Let's continue. Verse 40 says, just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Now, where are the righteous shining like the sun in their Father's kingdom? On the new earth. On the new earth at time number three. And where are the weeds at time number three? In the lake of fire burning, the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever, they will have joined their father Satan. In Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. So not only will that be Satan's fate, but every son or daughter of Satan will share in their father's fate. Well, what's that? That's eternal damnation. Now, you might say, oh, that sounds super religious and somewhat crazy, possibly 100% crazy. Friend, it's not. It's not. Think about this. Did you have the ability to create yourself? No. A creator makes a creation. Similarly, that same creator has created a future, not only for the creation, but for other creations, the earth. And so on this new earth, it says here, on the new earth, before we get to the new earth, it says that the angels will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Have you noticed that you don't want to sin, but you do sin? It's only through salvation that one's spirit is circumcised, where the sin nature is cut off. And it's only through the remission of one's sin that we are gifted the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we are guaranteed to participate in the first resurrection, where we will get the body that allows us to be on a perfect earth. So if you want to be perfected so that you can participate in God's kingdom and live on the new earth, you have to get rid of your sin nature. You have to go from being a person that causes sin and who does evil to being a person who is in righteousness, a person who has his or her past, present, and future sin paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to, friend. There's no option C. There's only option A and B. Team Jesus is option A. Team Jesus is option A. Team Satan is option B. Line one, the good fish. Line two, the bad fish. Line one, the wheat. Line two, the tares. Time one, the first resurrection. Time two, the second resurrection, also known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay, friend, let's look at one more thing in the Bible as foundational information before we go to the earth reaped prophecy. We're going to look at the parable of the sheep and the goats. Give me 1 second to get that up before me. So looking at the parable of the sheep and the goats in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, we're going to hear about the good fish and the bad fish again, but in a new story, but the same reality. So Jesus was trying to, I shouldn't say he was trying to, what he accomplished was communicating secrets about our future using stories with hidden information. So the purpose of a parable is to reveal a truth to a person who has a heart for God and to conceal it from a person who has a hardened heart. So now let us hear the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, Verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." So again, we have two groups. This time, the two groups are the sheep, who will be, as you will see, in line A, and the goats, who will be in line B, line one and line two, group A, group B. Continuing in verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right." Now, who was on his right? The sheep. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." So Jesus is telling them, all of the sheep are blessed. And blessed by who? God the Father. And all of the sheep will have an inheritance, which includes the kingdom. Now, where is the kingdom going to be? The kingdom is coming to the new earth. God is relocating his abode in heaven to the new earth. When does he do that? After all five of the enemies of God have been destroyed by Jesus Christ, God the Father relocates his home in heaven to the new earth. He literally creates a city in heaven called the New Jerusalem. And once the new earth is ready, the New Jerusalem descends from heaven and it merges onto the new earth. And God's going to live there. That's described in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. But let's stay here talking about the sheep and the goats. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then it says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So this is what Jesus will say to the sheep, those who are in Christ, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who find and follow God's plan for salvation. Now, what does he say to the goats? We hear it in verse 41. It says, then he will say to those on his left, remember, the goats are on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's stop there. Jesus reveals here that the lake of fire, the second death, was not prepared for human beings. It was, in fact, prepared for the devil and his angels. However, any person who is cursed will go to the lake of fire. So right now, if you are on the earth, you are experiencing the results of the curse. Your body is decaying. My body is decaying. It reaches a peak level and then it begins to decline. It doesn't matter how many spring waters you drink or how many push-ups you do. How many vitamins you take, those are all good things to do. I drink spring water. I take vitamins every day. I try to work out often. So nothing is wrong with those things. We should all do those things, but they do not allow us to overcome the curse. They do not restore us to eternal life. They don't give us back what Adam and Eve lost. You don't transition to an immortal body because you go to the gym 7 days a week and you eat a vegan diet. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Well, you say, how does it work? It works like this. Every person who finds and follows God's plan for salvation transitions to being Team Jesus, has his or her name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, puts on an immortal performance body at time number one, the resurrection, and transitions to life on the new earth at time number three, forever and ever. Let's continue in this parable of the sheep and the goats. In verse 41, it says, and again, this is everyone who's in line two. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Then he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now that's the third time, a third time that we get an accurate picture of what will happen at the end of the world. Now here, this is very interesting. It says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So you might say, well, what about the fact that there are some Christians who never help those who are in prison? Or there are some Christians who never give water to those who have nothing to drink. We must answer this question. What does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous is to be in right standing with God. So right standing with God means that one can stand before God sinless and blameless. There's only one way to do that. Certainly, there's no Christian that has never sinned. There's no Christian in the Old Testament who obeyed all 10 of the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments were given to demonstrate that it was impossible for man to live perfectly in and of himself. And so as a result, those who were interested in God, those who had an inkling of God, they understood that they needed some kind of sacrifice, a way to atone for their sin debt. And so before Jesus Christ gave the perfect offering, the perfect payment for sin debt, there was a shadow of what was to come. And so you see in the Old Testament that the people of God had priests that would bring offerings to atone for the sin debt of the priests themselves and for the Jewish people. And they did this daily. And they had some special sacrifices that they did on an annual basis. But here's the thing. If those sacrifices were sufficient, in other words, if they truly paid for their sin debt, why did they need to do them over and over and over again? If you have a debt and you pay it off, let's say you owe a guy $10,000 and then you pay him $10,000 today. You don't go back and pay him $10,000 tomorrow and then you don't show up again the next day on the third day and pay him another $10,000. Why not? You've already paid him the $10,000 you owed him on day one. And so why in the Old Testament do they keep coming back to pay for sin debt, past, present, and future? Because that payment was insufficient to pay for all sin debt, past, present, and future. However, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that payment, perfect, that payment was perfect. What does that mean? It means that whether you have one sin, two sins, 2 million sins, any number of sins, your sin debt can be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, the work of the cross. So you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it says in the New Testament, for the remission of your sins. What does that mean, remission? Payment. So you say, well, I believe in God. Okay, what about your sin debt? That's good. You believe in God. Have you repented of your sins? Do you know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh? What about your sin debt? Is that paid for? The Bible says that broad is the path that leads to destruction and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life and few there be that find it. Why? Why are there so few who find it? Friend, it's not enough to say that you believe in God. What about your sin debt? Is your sin debt paid for? Somebody has to pay for that sin debt because God is a God of justice. And as I said earlier today, you don't have enough money and you don't have a sufficient number of good deeds to pay for your sin debt. You don't. You might say, well, I think I could list all my sins and they're not that many in number. They're way fewer than yours, research scientists. I believe you. I believe you. Again, even one sin disqualifies one from participating in the first resurrection, from getting a guaranteed ticket to the new earth, from having one's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the end, either you are righteous or unrighteous. So let's talk about this last parable, and now we're going to the earth reap prophecy. But the last line in this last parable that we heard, it said that in verse 46 of chapter 25, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Only those whose sin debt has been paid for by Jesus Christ, by the work of the cross, are righteous. That's a fact. It's not a preference. It's not a decision. It's not an opinion. That is a fact recorded in the Word of God. And so if you want to have a ticket to the new earth, if you want to be permitted to live on the new earth, you must be righteous. And you don't work your way into righteousness. Now, you can work your way into some rewards, right? So they're the rewards of God, but we're talking about the righteousness of God. You don't work your way into that. It's free, but you must consent to it. You have to make a decision. You must consent to it. You must find and follow God's plan for salvation. Okay. Now let's continue. The whole purpose of our time today is to talk about the earth reaped prophecy. And so now we're going to Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 20, so that we can hear the earth reaped prophecy. So every prophecy in the book of Revelation begins with its own movie trailer and words, followed by a full movie. In other words, a full report of some event. So we see in verses 6 to 11, the movie trailer in words, and then we see in verses 12 to 20, the movie in its entirety. Sometimes when reading the book of Revelation, people can get confused. We can all get confused if we don't know these two important secrets that I'm about to reveal to you. Number one, the geography of the book of Revelation is that it has 12 consecutive statements of prophecy, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5 and ending with verse 5 of chapter 12. Each of those statements of prophecy is its own documentary in words, culminating in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so the second coming of Jesus Christ doesn't happen 12 times. It doesn't happen 5 times. It happens 1 time. Yet, there are many important events that happen before the second coming and even during the second coming. And so those different events that are important from the perspective of God are all told in these 12 statements of prophecy. The second secret is what I mentioned earlier. When you're in a statement of prophecy, so you say, okay, I know where I am now. I'm in the seven seals prophecy, or I'm in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, or I'm in the millennial reign prophecy, or I'm in the new earth prophecy. Remember I said there are 12 of them. So once you know where you are in the book of Revelation and you say, okay, I'm in this specific statement of prophecy, the second question you must answer is this. Am I in the movie trailer in words, or am I in the full report, the movie in its entirety? Now, why is that important? Think about the upcoming movie, Wakanda Forever. many of us have seen the movie trailer. It's approximately 1 minute. When we go to see the movie, which is maybe 120 minutes, there will be scenes in the movie that we've seen before because we've seen the movie trailer. However, we won't be confused because we understand that the movie trailer was created in part from the movie, right? So in the same way, when we look at nonfiction reports, in professional writing, there's a tool that we use, and that tool is called an abstract. It's a movie trailer in words. And if you look at the New England Journal of Medicine, you look at any scientific journal. So what's a scientific journal? Well, these are the documents we use to house the most complex information that exists in the world today. So whether you live in Australia or the United Kingdom or the United States of America, wherever you live, the scientific peer-reviewed journal is the location in a book where we house the most complex information. And in all of those places, it just so happens in 2022, in the time of the end of the age, that we use this strategy of first presenting an abstract and then presenting a full report. Very interesting. So it doesn't surprise me that God would use one of the most sophisticated techniques for nonfiction writing and have it in the culminating work of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Okay, so the Earth Reap prophecy, let's hear, there are two parts, remember? There's the movie trailer in words called the abstract, and then there's the full report. Let's hear the movie trailer in words, verses 6 to 13 of the Earth Reap prophecy. It says, "And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people, 'Fear God,' he shouted. 'Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water.' Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, 'Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality.' Then a third angel followed them, shouting, 'Anyone who worships the beast and his statue or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus." What's in there? So that's the movie trailer in words. And so what were the highlights from this movie trailer in words for the Earth Reaped prophecy? So they mentioned the good news. God is coming to judge the earth. And it says the time has come for the judgment that God is going to make. Then we're told as part of this judgment, in the same timing, that Babylon has fallen. Now, when does Jesus Christ return? He returns after the wrath of Satan, after the great tribulation. So the great tribulation is followed by the wrath of God, culminating in the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon happens immediately following the second coming, after the resurrection. In that same timing. Now, what else is in this movie trailer? It says, again, when does Jesus come? after the Great Tribulation. He comes as the culminating event for the wrath of God to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. And so they mention in the movie trailer, John mentions in the movie trailer, John the Revelator, to us that every person who took the mark of the beast is going to be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Now, when does this torment happen? It happens at time three. Remember, there's the great white throne judgment, which the angel announces at the beginning of this movie trailer. But at time number three, 1,000 years later, after the great white throne judgment, is when these individuals, the bad fish, the goats, the weeds, will ultimately be thrown into the lake of fire. And they mention, look, for those of you who are here on the earth at the time of the Great Tribulation, if you have taken the mark of the beast, you are Team Satan. You are a bad fish. You are a goat. You are a weed. Now, let's hear the full report. So we had so many highlights there. So that's what happens when you see a movie trailer. You get the key conflicts, the key information, the key players, but those important details are missing. So you go to see the movie in its entirety. So we are going to hear now the rest of the earth reaped prophecy. This is the full report. It begins with verse 14. It ends with verse 20. It says, reading from the New Living Translation, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand." Now remember, friend, we heard in the parables in Matthew that at the end, the angels were going to harvest the earth following the receipt of an instruction from Jesus Christ. Now the purpose of a sickle is to reap something. So let's hear what happens. In verse 15, continuing, it says, "Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, 'Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe.' So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested." Now, what did we just hear there? It happened so fast. It said, the crop on earth is ripe. So in the earth reaped prophecy, the crop is group A, all who are in line one. The crop includes the wheat, the good fish, the sheep, everyone who is Team Jesus, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's what happens to group number one. But what about group number two? Let's continue. In verse 16 it says, "So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested." So the crop on the earth is ripe. The whole earth was harvested. Now, what does that mean? So the angel reaps the earth's crop. That is the resurrection. That is the timing described in great detail in Thessalonians, when every person who is on the earth at this time of the second coming will rise up to meet Jesus Christ, as well as those who are in heaven. They will be putting on their incorruptible bodies. And second, we will join them who are with Jesus putting on our incorruptible bodies. That's the first resurrection. That's the harvesting of earth's crop. That's separating every person who is a good fish, every person who is a sheep, every person who is a part of the wheat. But what happens to group two? That begins with Let's continue in verse 17 and hear what happens. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel who had power to destroy with fire. Did you hear that, friend? Fire. So we know where this is going. The weeds were burned in the fire at the instruction of Jesus. The bad fish were thrown out. The goats are told that they're going to eternal punishment. We know where this is going, but let's hear it. It's in the earth-reaped prophecy. Then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, "Swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment." Now, a lot of things happened there in a short amount of time. The clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth refer to those in line two, those who are the bad fish, those who are the goats, those who are part of the wheat or the tares. And what does it say is going to happen to the clusters of the grapes from the vines of the earth? It says they're ripe for judgment. Now, this part is very important. This part is where we have to go back to what we discussed about there being time one, time two, and time three. The first resurrection, which is what happens to the earth's crop, that happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the judgment happens 1,000 years later. Now, again, we tend to think of time, oh, now I'm 28. Next year I'll be 29. In 10 years I'll be 39. Or maybe you say, now I'm 76. In 5 years I'll be 81. So when God is talking about time in the book of Revelation, we see longer periods of time described. 1,000 years, for example, right here. So when the second sickle is swung, the timing of the judgment is the great white throne judgment that's described in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. So every person who dies and whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be disembodied. So what does that mean? Well, when you die, in other words, when you fall asleep because this mortal body has given out, maybe it's due to an accident, maybe it's due to old age, maybe it's due to cancer, whatever reason it is, when this corruptible body that you were in, that I am in, when it gives out, if we're not here at the time of the second coming and we experience the first death, when that body gives out, a person goes to either one of two locations, heaven, that's a physical location, or Hades, another physical location. And then the person has perfect continuity of life as a soul and spirit, two in one, but disembodied. So a person can be a disembodied soul and spirit in heaven or a disembodied soul and spirit in Hades or corruptible body, spirit, and soul on earth. Those are the only three choices right now. But moving forward in time, at time number one, every person who is a wheat, part of the wheat, a good fish or a sheep, transitions to being three in one in a perfected, glorified, immortal body. Every person who is a tare or a weed, a bad fish or a goat, every person who's team Satan continues to dwell as a disembodied spirit in Hades until the time of the great white throne judgment. So it says here in verse 18 in the earth-reap prophecy, then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. This is the last secret for us to reveal today in the earth reaped prophecy, and it's very important. The book of Revelation focuses on eternity as well as specifically the 3.5-year period that occurs before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So after the great tribulation is the wrath of God that culminates in the battle of Armageddon. So God talks about extensively in the book of Revelation what happens during that specific period. So with respect to the goats, the bad fish, the weeds, the tares, everyone who's Team Satan at the time of the second coming, what happens if you are in Israel and you are a part of the armies? So the 10-nation alliance will lead its armies under the leadership of the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will lead their armies through the dried up land where the river Euphrates was to Israel to destroy Israel, but in fact, they will be destroyed. And every person who is there and who has the mark of the beast will experience the first death, will be destroyed in the battle of Armageddon by Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. This is telling us the wine press is the battle of Armageddon described in chapter 19, and every person who has the mark of the beast will experience the first death. There'll be 180 miles of carnage as a result of the Battle of Armageddon. Friend, I hope that this has been an exciting discussion for you. We will continue on Tuesday and Sunday of next week talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. Thank you for being with me and with us. Until next time, friend, God bless you.